Today on Real Life Radio.
He's just amazing. And his generosity and his goodness. And yet tonight, you can know all about God, and you can absolutely be missing him if you're bound in religion.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You ever find yourself longing for a deeper spiritual walk? Well, for many believers, the Holy Spirit's just a mysterious idea we hear about on Sundays but rarely live out on Mondays. What if His presence could transform your daily life, fueling you with hope and power and unstoppable joy? What if His guidance could help you navigate through decisions, strengthen relationships, and bring genuine peace to your soul? Well, this month, Pastor Jack Hibbs is featuring Living Water by Chuck Smith. It's a down-to-earth look at the Holy Spirit who can revolutionize the way you connect with God. Inside, you'll uncover practical biblical insights to help you walk in step with the Spirit right where you are. No hype, no cliches, just real answers for everyday challenges.
This book changed my life. Authored by my pastor, Chuck Smith, the book Living Water, incredible.
Living Water is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Parables of Jesus with a message titled Parable of the Householder and His Heir, Part 1. You know, whenever Jesus spoke to the crowds, he often spoke using commonly known themes the Bible calls parables. But in this parable, Jesus exposes the corrupt religious leaders of the day through the story of a vineyard. Now, Jesus saw straight into the hearts and minds of the religious leaders. He exposed their hidden motives, their superficial righteousness, and their search for power. Jesus stripped away their facade before the watching crowd. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that God built a hedge around the vineyard to protect it. He dug a wine press even before there was fruit. And he built a tower to look out for threats. We must not miss this message. And we got to ask ourselves, is he doing this in my life? Now, with his message called Parable of the Householder and His Heir, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
No wonder why later Jesus will say, "You are of your father, the devil." Can you imagine so? Can you imagine a guy? I come walking out on Sunday morning. Next Sunday, I come walking out. "Hi, good morning, welcome. Oh, by the way, you over here, you are of your father, the devil." So, can you imagine? Jesus drops the bomb. They talk like their father. They act like their father. They conspire like their father. They want Jesus dead. And look, we're in church right now. It's like, that's hard to believe. Let me tell you something. If Jesus came back today, like he came in his first coming, he'd get killed again. The most loving, gracious, forgiving, gentle man the world has ever seen and will ever see. The man who prostitutes and publicans, tax collectors and thieves, and children gravitated to him. And every time there's a problem with Jesus, that problem is with the religious hierarchy, isn't it? Isn't that interesting? And as long as there's unredeemed hearts conspiring against God, they'll crucify him again. You think America would accept Christ at a time like this, or crucify him? Can you imagine if Jesus showed up on Capitol Hill? Can you imagine if Jesus showed up on Capitol Hill and said, I proclaim this house desolate. In this rotunda, there was once every Sunday 2,500 people who would gather on a Sunday morning into a worship service with Bibles open, and the worship band was the U.S. Marine Corps worship band at the command of President Thomas Jefferson. And you've stopped it. You've thrown me out. Can you imagine? He could say that because that really happened. Can you imagine that? He could say, it's over, Ichabod. Wow. What do you think? Somebody would pick up the phone in some dark, secret office corner somewhere and say, get some cars out there. Arrest this person. Shut that guy up. Imagine. You say, that's kind of pushing it, isn't it? Have you ever heard of Jeremiah? What'd they do to Jeremiah? They killed him. What about Isaiah? They put him in a log. They put him in a hollow log. You know Isaiah, the Isaiah we're talking about here? They stuffed him in a hollow log, and then they cut the log in half. Jesus and his lordship is saying, I have done everything. My Father in heaven has done everything. When Jesus is saying that a vineyard's been planted and he's referring to God being the one who plants the vineyard and he sends the prophets as the servants recorded in the parable. And then he says he sent his own son. Church, this is radical. Jesus is saying that the owner of the vineyard, the owner of Israel has a son. Think of that through. Are you here tonight and you're Jewish? Think about this for a moment. The owner of Israel, the creator of the universe, has a son, and he's the heir of everything. You say, well, that's you crazy Christians and your New Testament stuff. No, that's Old Testament doctrine, loud and clear. God's intent for Israel, don't get me wrong. In God's timing and God's dispensation of the ages, God sent forth the word of God to Israel. They rejected Christ as Messiah. They rejected the prophets. Paul answers this in Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11. And he says, for example, has God cut Israel off forever? Is God done with them and are they no more? He says, no. But for a time, the veil is over their eyes because of unbelief. And he says, you Romans, he's talking to a bunch of Italians, but he means us too. During this time, God has grafted in the Gentile world into the family of God. As it were, he has given this opportunity to another nation. He's not talking about the other nation being Peru or Canada. He's talking about what Peter spoke about. A holy nation, a royal priesthood, a people of God, the church. He'll give the truth to the church and they'll run around the world and they'll tell everybody about Jesus. And then there's going to come a time, according to the book of Romans, when God says, I'm going to refocus once again and fulfill my original plan upon the nation of Israel. And in the last days, I will visit her again. I will open up her graves and cause her people to come up out of the ground and come back to their land of Israel from all the four corners of the earth. Read Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 to 15. Read Ezekiel 36 and 37. God said, I will gather them back together in the last days and they'll become a nation in one day, one final time. And then he says in the book of Joel 2 and 3, I will pour out my spirit upon the house of Israel and they will prophesy. And that, by the way, are those ones, the very ones, who will be the ministers of the gospel during the tribulation period. The Bible says 12,000 from every tribe of the 12 tribes, 144,000 in total. Can you imagine 144,000 Jews born again, filled with the Spirit of God? Can you imagine having 144,000 Paul the Apostles loose on earth at the same time with the internet, mind you? Can you imagine them tweeting? Boom, 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 boom. The gospel, preaching, miracles. Wow. God's not done with Israel. If you think that, you think that to great peril. He's brought Israel back and he's going to use them again. Don't misunderstand the parable. But Jesus is warning 2,000 years ago, the word of God spoke, you missed it. And maybe, listen, tonight he could be speaking to us and saying, you got a Bible, you own it, you hear it every week, you're missing it. Can you imagine? It's terrifying, isn't it, to think? Do you worship Jesus Christ as God's son? I'll end with this because I think it's touching. It blesses my heart. The qualitative lordship of Jesus Christ, limitless, yes, but what's been recorded for us is tender. Verse 33 tells us about this vineyard, that he has set a hedge around it. You know what that means? It means that he has built a protection area around his vineyard, be it Israel, or be it the church, or be it you. It certainly was true for Job, was it not?
Yes.
And that word means that he built a hedge around it, means to keep out the undesirables. What does that mean? To keep out the undesirables. What is it? Bugs, thieves, weird animals, grape robbers. God does that in your life, does he not? He does to me.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Verse 33 says he dug a wine press in it. What does that mean? That means God is doing something in your life with the anticipation. He expects something to come out of your life. A wine press. Listen, nobody digs a wine press and then there's wine up here. You know, like you dig for oil. I told you guys before, a friend of mine, I was reminded of him this week back east. Poor guy. He has a church in Texas. And they had to expand because they're growing. So they bought some land. It was hilarious too, because not only did they buy some land, they bought the land from the federal government. They had a building, and the government is broke, as you know, and it's selling stuff off, and they got a building just outside of Dallas, a huge thing, massive. And they said, well, it's a piece of junk building. We have to tear it down before we can build our new church here. And somebody messed up in the contracts, because this thing went to court, and it was awesome. I'll just make it short. They leveled everything, and they start getting things done. They're going to have a balcony put in their sanctuary, so they have to drive poles down way deep. Oh, yeah. They're digging down. Let's just put it this way. I think it's Dutch Oil, Shell Oil Company, ties to that church every few seconds. They struck oil. Now, look, we don't have oil here in this, not much, but can you imagine? We need to expand the sanctuary and you hit a gold vein here in California. It's like, wow. You dig a wine press with anticipation. You dig a wine press before you have grapes. Friend, listen, God digs a wine press before there's any wine. God works in your life before anything has come out yet. He's very excited to see what's going to come out of your life. I'll just dig a little deeper. Get it ready. That excites me. Oh, God, don't stop digging a wine press for my life, please. I mean, come on, Lord. I want to believe that, God, you're going to do some awesome things. Still, keep digging. He built a tower over Israel. The tower speaks of the watchtower to protect it against enemy forces from afar. Doesn't God do that in your life? Has God ever warned you not to do something or not to go over there or not to talk to him or not to talk to her? You know what I'm talking about? Doesn't he warn you? Watchtower. Hey, he's blowing the trumpet. Hey! He's blowing. Boop! You, Jack, don't! Right? And you're like, wait. Boop, boop. Jack! Dummy! Stop! Doesn't he do that? Isn't the Holy Spirit doing that in your life all the time? He's so good. And some people get all bent out of shape with that. Oh. God told me I couldn't. What are you upset for? God told you you couldn't, so you wouldn't get your face blown off. Or God told you you couldn't because he didn't want you to drop dead. Or God told you you couldn't because you were going to get really messed up. God is saying tonight, haven't I been good to you? Haven't I done these things in your life? And haven't I been warning you from afar? What fault have you found in me, he says, that you would divorce yourself from me? And then finally this, look at verse 33 toward the end. He says he leased it to vine dressers. What does that mean? He's expecting cooperation from his workers. Who'd have thunk? In the last days, the most dangerous place to be sometimes is in a church. Because you don't know what you're going to hear. And it seems today the more weirdness you preach, the more people come. Isn't that weird? Yeah. Hey, we're going to be studying next week. How? You know, it's like, what? You go to a church where you don't have to bring your Bible? That's a big deal. I saw an advertisement. Come and worship with us. It said, come and worship with us. It's just like not going to church. And in my mind, because I think cartoon thoughts, I saw that ad building a big ladder high up into heaven. And the pastor slapping God. Because Jesus died for his church. Oh, come and gather with us. It's not like going to church. Well, then what is it like? Like what, going to a bar? What's it like? Oh, it's really cool, man. You won't be able to tell what we do from what the world does. Oh, gosh. You hear what I'm saying? It's crazy. What are we afraid of? We don't need to be afraid of anything. You and I love people who are hurting. Where are we going to rescue them? What are we going to do? America's hurting, families are hurting, people are hurting. People are being lied to on record scales. And listen, it's incumbent upon you and I. We have a householder who has bought us with his own blood. And listen, his son is the heir. Make no mistake about it. Next time together, we'll really get into this. It's going to be fun. But isn't it radical how the Bible says that we who trust in Jesus are now co-heirs with him? Amen. It's like, what? I don't really need that. You know what I'm thinking? I don't need that. I've read that in the Bible. It's like, okay, I don't need it. I didn't even want it. I just can't wait to get to heaven. I'll be happy. You know, if God says, somebody needs to change that light bulb over there, I'll be happy to change that light bulb. Right? And God's going to say, oh, by the way, you, the church, the bride of Christ, you're co-heirs with my son Jesus, who, for his atonement for all mankind, and he being God himself, for the Lord said unto my Lord, all things are his. And all that he has, he shares with you. It's like, I mean, we're going to be in heaven just kind of, really? You know what I'm saying? God, Lord, I mean, is it hard for you to receive stuff? He's kind of, really? I said, I'm not worthy of that. You and I, maybe we've lived a life where it's like, it's okay. When someone tries to just do something good and do something sweet, they mean it just with the dearest heart. And it's like kind of embarrassing. Now I bought you this. Oh man, what? I mean, you should give that to like the. Can you imagine? God is gonna just. I don't know what words to use. He's just gonna. I got this for you. For me? Yeah, I want you to have this. It's Jupiter. Here, you can have it. Here. Can you imagine? I wasn't expecting that. He's just amazing. And his generosity and his goodness. And yet tonight, you can know all about God and you can absolutely be missing him if you're bound in religion. Father, we are a people who, in all honesty, we have been touched by your Holy Spirit more times than we can count. And Lord, there's some chagrin to that reality because I know that we've been touched by your Holy Spirit enough that we have recognized that, we have seen it happen, we have enjoyed the benefits of it, and we just kept walking on our merry way. We didn't stop to praise you. We didn't stop to thank you. We didn't stop to wash your feet in song or praise or thank yous. And so, Father, tonight I just pray that the reality of your goodness would so sink into our souls tonight. Father, the person that might be here tonight who just sees themselves so out of bounds, so far from believing that you could love them. They see themselves as damaged goods. And there's no doubt about it. In this world's opinion, they are. I mean, let's be honest. The world looks at them and says, reject. And you look at them tonight and you say, received. The world might say to them tonight, get out. And you say to them tonight, come home. Heavenly Father, tonight I pray for the one that is here this evening. Heart is heavy. And they're the one thinking that all this is fine for everybody around me, but it just can't be true for me. That's the person I'm talking about, Lord. I pray that you would right now do your thing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Parable of the Householder and His Heir, Part 1. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The Parables of Jesus. It's a series that highlights the teachings of Jesus while he was here on this earth. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
So as you heard from our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to know what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life personally, we would love to help you out with that. Go to jackhibbs.com/knowgod. That's K-N-O-W, God. And there you'll be guided through what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. Don't miss out. That's the Know God tab at jackhibbs.com.
Everyone, it's almost impossible to keep up with what's going on in the world today. I think we've all come to that realization. My goodness, just the news regarding Israel and Israel's neighborhood. We're looking at what's going on in North Korea. We're seeing what's happening in China and other parts of the world. It's just overwhelming. But I want to encourage all of you. Be in the Word of God now and more systematically than ever before. In fact, as we are in this season of maybe the first quarter or second quarter of the year, I want to encourage you to join me actually at 5 a.m. Pacific time, 5 a.m. Pacific time, and whatever time zone you're in, you can join me at my Facebook page live for 5 minutes as we are praying together with people all around the world. And you can leave your prayer request right there. You can leave it in the comment section and people will be praying for you. So listen, with all that's taking place in the world, you don't have to walk through this alone. There'll be others with you to pray with you and love on you. But friends, more than ever, if you draw near to Jesus and practice the presence of God more and more, it means you're going to have to turn some things off and minimize the distractions. You will see some pretty miraculous things start to happen in your life. So I encourage you to do that very thing. So listen, 5 a.m., you can do it. West Coast time, 5 a.m. For those of you who are in Cape Town, South Africa, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And listen, we'd love to have you. And even if you can't be with us live, you can always view it, pray with us, and leave your prayer request there at the comment section.
The Lift Daily Prayer, that's every day on Pastor Jack's Facebook page. That's at 5 a.m. Pacific time, so don't miss it. Make it a habit if you would. Come get prayed for and join Pastor Jack in the Word. That's the Lift Daily Prayer every day this year on Pastor Jack's Facebook page. Be sure to join us. You'll enjoy it.
Looking for an inspiring way to pass some time? Or maybe just need some help to get through your workday? How about listening while you work? The Jack Hibbs Podcast brings you real stories, real people with real life experiences. From inspiring journeys to thought-provoking conversations, we've got it all. So discover a world of knowledge, laughter, and connection. The Jack Hibbs Podcast and so much more are available on our website at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com, where faith meets real life.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.